2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
With another episode of the DFS Army season-long fantasy basketball podcast. I am at Alan Sislowski, a.k.a. Season Long Says, here with special guest, Chris Felicetta of RotoGrinders content provider. What's up, my man, Chris?
Not much, man. Happy to be joining you on a Sunday morning here to talk a little hoops. I've been listening to the DFS Army podcast for a while. Love the work that you and the geek do on football. And I think Cash Keg does a great job with the DFS stuff. I listen to him pretty much every day that I play DFS hoops. So it's an honor and a pleasure to be with you this morning, my man.
Well, the feeling is mutual. You know, we are excited about the content that you provide for RotoGrinders and your many other outlets as well. Just for the listeners to get to know you, those who haven't seen you on there, first of all, Chris is a prolific fantasy player, an ex-college wrestler.
That is true. In my younger days.
Yeah, not a jump off the top rope and smash someone with a steel chair, right? Tell us a little bit about your background.
No, I grew up wrestling on out in Long Island and went to Columbia, wrestled all through there. So it got me into college. It ruined my knees and back, but it did get me into college and helped me out a good deal. So I can't complain about that. But yeah, I did a little bit of blogging for RotoGrinders about my NFL best ball entries this year. Wrote for SB Nation covering the Yankees a little bit in the past. And just happy to be joining you guys, man. I'm just out here. I've been playing season-long football for 20 years with my friends. I foolishly traded you Lamar Jackson before the season in one league, in a keeper league, which I will regret till the end of my days. But been doing DFS for probably 5 or 6 years and just trying to, you know, scrape out a little extra cash on the side. So I'm happy to be joining you guys and helping out when I can.
Yeah, Chris is a prolific player. He's being a little bit humble. But in fantasy basketball is something that you and I talk about offline quite often. And, you know, we're just going to review for the people. We do a weekly fantasy basketball for season long wrap up. We're going to talk a little DFS, sure, but we're just going to mostly hit the news and notes. And the reason I had Chris on is because a fellow New Yorker, you know, nowadays I live in Florida, but, you know, my roots are still in New York, and it's the New York Knicks. I first wanted to talk about the state of the New York Knicks, but Chris, you are a Knicks fan at heart, aren't you?
Die hard. I mean, I go back to the Patrick Ewing, Charles Oakley, Anthony Mason heyday, which is really basically the last time we were good, other than the one odd year in 2014 with Carmelo when we lost to the Pacers in the playoffs. But yeah, it's been a hard 20-year journey. They obviously just fired Fizdale this week, and I don't know if that'll have much of an effect on a day-to-day fantasy outlook, because you would expect that at 4-18 or whatever they are, they're going to start trying to play the younger guys more. But I don't think Fizdale was the problem. Anybody who's a Knicks fan knows that it's going to be a disaster until Dolan sells the team, if he ever sells the team, pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, there's been – I've read a couple articles this week where – it's bad for basketball. Everyone can agree that the New York Knicks are bad. I mean, it's been too long now. It's been a quarter of a century. It's been 25 years. Even that 1 year that Carmelo brought us to the first round, and then it was a one and done. Was it 4-1? I think the series count was something like that. It's just been a disaster.
Roy Hibbert stole our soul there with that block on Carmelo. It was pretty much the last relevant moment for our franchise.
Absolutely. So it was been talk that Commissioner Silver, who's done a pretty good job, you know, overall, in my opinion, they asked him, will he take over the Knicks and possibly, you know, just do something? One of his staff was part of the engineering of the process in Philadelphia. So they said, is it possible that the commissioner could step down because this is detrimental to the league? He quickly said, no, I, you know, listen, they're on their own. But the problem is that no free agents are going to go to the New York Knicks, that they're going to have to do the rebuild the old fashioned way. And I mean, you know, even DeAndre Jordan, when everyone thought we were going to get Kyrie and everyone thought that Kevin Durant was going to go there, they quickly pivoted over to a different organization. I mean, in your opinion, what do you think the Knicks actually have to do in order to even be attractive to free agents at this point?
Well, I think they just have to prove that they're not a laughingstock, and that's not going to happen overnight. My problem with the Porzingis trade when it happened was that they didn't need to do it then. It's like, why are you giving up at like your best asset, your best player, even though he was on an ACL injury, he was clearly their most valuable asset, to trade for cap space when you don't know if you're going to be able to use that cap space yet? And obviously, as it turned out, they didn't get Durant, they didn't get Kyrie, and they had all this cap space that they spent on like four mediocre power forwards, like guys that play the same position. Randall is decent, but he's not anything that's going to, you're going to build your franchise around. And then you bring in, you know, Marquise Morris and Bobby Portis and Taj Gibson. And like, it just, you spent $70 million on guys that are not going to get you to the playoffs. So I think that if you read like the all the Daily News post type hype, you think they're saying that they want to go after Masai Ujiri from Toronto and give him like a godfather offer to leave Toronto and come try to reinvent the Knicks. But I mean, why would he do that other than money? Like, is there any reason that he would come work for James Dolan other than that money?
Maybe he likes the restaurants better in New York than in Toronto, but who knows? I mean, you know what? Even with the cap space the Knicks created, I thought that maybe they would not sign people. They would maybe be like a way station, like, hey, give us your overpriced contracts, and you know what? Give us a picks with those. I thought, like, I didn't. It's one thing to ship off Porzingis. It's another thing to not even land free agents, but the cap space is valuable. You don't have to hit the cap until a certain point of the season. I thought at least they would just keep that cap open in order to take on other bad contracts and more picks with it. I thought that maybe
that's what they should have done. That's what a sharp organization would have. That's what the Nets did. You know, when they were able to accelerate their rebuild because Sean Marks is an astute GM, comes from the Spurs. And Kenny Atkinson, who was a local Long Island guy like us, who was the Knicks assistant under D'Antoni, was one of the assistants. They took the patient, prudent approach, were the way station for cap space. I think they did it with Alan Crabb from Portland. They took on Mozgov's horrendous deal and got assets for that, which is probably what the Knicks should have done. I don't think we're completely hopeless, because as horrible and depressing as this season has been, I am kind of encouraged with RJ Barrett. I didn't love him at Duke. He was in a tough situation being like the Robin to Batman's, to Zion's Batman. Zion. But
yeah,
I do think he looks like at 19 years old, like, you can't have your best player in the league be 19 at this point on your team, but he is showing a lot of potential. I think he's competitive. He has a nice all-around game. He can get to the rim. I think he's only going to improve. So I do think he can be the best player on a playoff team at some point in his career, but I don't trust the Knicks at this point to surround him with the right coaching, the right front office, and the right complementary players to make that happen. I mean, we got to see who the next full-time hire is as a coach and a GM.
So you're saying there's a chance.
Yeah, there's a small one, but there's a chance. I think I saw a stat the other day on Twitter. I forget who posted. I think one of the beat writers, maybe Ian Begley or somebody, that the Knicks they're over 300 games under 500 when Steve Mills is the lead executive or in the front office. So he's been there for the better part of 13 years. So I think he's definitely more of the problem than the solution. Hey.
Yeah, no, that's definitely well said. I'm here with Chris Felicetta from Roto Grinders, content contributor, astute fantasy player, passionate fantasy player, ex-college wrestler. And we are talking some season-long fantasy hoops and some news. Also, Chris, in the news, you see up on our overlay here, I have Luka Doncic. It's just been insane. I mean, it's well publicized that Luka Doncic is just been like record setting pace, averaging a 30 point triple double. The other day he passed, he tied Michael Jordan's record for the 18th game with a 25-5. Were you on board that, where were you, Luka, before he was drafted? Were you skeptical, or did you think he was, you know, had a chance to be one of the all time greats? Where were you before and now on Luka?
I mean, I love Luka. I thought he should have went number one overall that season and in the draft. I mean, I'm not going to like pretend that I watched a ton of him other than like, you know, the YouTube highlights. I wasn't like streaming the Spanish ACB league or whatever it is on my laptop every night. I definitely wasn't. But just everything you read, all the sharp people that seem to think that that he was can't miss. If you're the MVP of that league at 18 years old or whatever it was, I didn't necessarily believe that Ayton was a star in Phoenix. So, and
I mean, he's a good player. Ayton's a good player. I mean, and you know what? You can't fault him. It just seems like when you have the chance to draft a generational talent, and that's what I saw too when I saw Luka play. And I'm with you. I thought he should be number one overall. And then how egregious is it that he was traded for Trae Young in the pick? I mean, Trae Young's going to be an exciting face of the franchise type of player, but can he carry a team by himself? I don't know. With Luka, I saw the same thing. I remember when we were in middle school seeing Jason Kidd play and in the McDonald's high school American game and being like, wow, this is a different kind of player. And that's what I basically saw in Luka. Now, this kind of a start that he's been off to with 30-point triple-double averaging, I mean, is this like the beginning of something, or is this kind of like a freak thing and he's going to cool down? I mean, is this even close to sustainable in your opinion?
I mean, on a immediate level, I think there's got to be a little bit of regression, right? Like what he's doing is completely unprecedented. Like no one's ever done it. I don't think LeBron has put up these kind of stats at this age. But he is pretty much the only full like great option they have there for as far as like usage and handling the ball. Porzingis is the number two there. And after that, like, who would you even say is the third player on that team? Tim Hardaway?
Right.
Like, I'm surprised that it's been – nobody would have expected that he'd be this good, obviously. He'd be right. If he was, he would have went number two probably to Harden in most season-long drafts.
Well, so and hold that thought right there, because if we redrafted today, where do you think he would go? Do you think he would go one in the top two?
I mean, you can make an argument for Greek Free. You can make an argument for Brow, but I think at worst he goes fourth, right? Like,
right.
He probably goes two, to be honest.
Right. Because it's an exciting pick. Brow always has that sort of perceived injury issues, but yeah, no, it's unbelievable what's going on. Another player I wanted to talk about is Russell Westbrook and what is going on with him. So, if you're in a points or you play daily fantasy, he's been perfectly fine. But I looked on the Yahoo player rater and Russell Westbrook is in a 9-category league, where do you think Russell Westbrook is on the Yahoo player rater as of today, which is December 8th?
If I had to guess, I don't know. I would say maybe 11, 12, somewhere around there.
Okay. You ready for this one?
Yeah.
110th.
What?
when you account for turnovers or percentages, I would have said the same thing you did because somebody asked me that. I said, all right, since you're asking, he's probably like what, 23rd, but in points league, he's top 10. So if you're playing in a fantasy points league, like most of us do, players as well, he's a perfectly good pick. But 110th, the efficiency is just so bad. I mean, the raw numbers are close to where they've been, the steal numbers. But yeah, in a categories league, he's literally like an end of the draft player. And it's crazy to think, right? I mean, that's how inefficient he's been, which makes me think, what do you think the Houston Rockets, I know they've been winning, but do you think that they are, in your opinion, from what you observed, are they going to hold on to Russ, or are they going to maybe try to trade him getting closer to the deadline?
I mean, I haven't heard anything that saying that they would try to trade him. I think they're at least going to try to take a run at it this year and see where they could go playoff wise with Harden and Russ. They would be a bet against in the playoffs for me. Like, it's going to work in the regular season. They're gonna pile up wins, pile up fantasy stats for both of those guys. Although I've had a terrible time trying to pick the right Russ Knights in DFS, because it's like, you know what you're getting for the most part from Harden, but like the big Russ games, I think, at least for me, have been harder to hit with the whack-a-mole hammer. But as far as playoffs, like, I just think once the defenses ramp up, when you have Kawhi and Paul George playing every night, when you have LeBron actually trying on defense and along with Anthony Davis on his side, I don't really see how they're going to win the West. And I think both of those guys have shown to have faults in the playoffs. Harden, just for as brilliant as he is, seems to wilt in the clutch, and Russ, the inefficiency comes to head. Like, people know how to defend him in a playoff situation. Sag off.
Yeah. So we're just going to take a quick break right here to talk about our friends at OverlayDFS.com. If you're tired of having to pick the perfect player at every position in order to win your salary cap DFS league, tired of having your salary cap lineup out of the running in the first 5 minutes, does playing salary cap DFS feel like a job and not a game? It does for you sometimes, right, Chris?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Want a fantasy game where the pros with 150 lineups and computer algorithms can't dominate? Well, then OverlayDFS.com has a new revolutionary start-sit game for fantasy sports. They are the home of the 10 max entry GPP. Here's how you play, Chris. You make 12 simple start-sit decisions from a list of over 30 that they give you. A win, a loss, or a tie will be assigned or awarded to you for your overall record for each decision. The records in the top 10% will win 9 times your buy-in. A perfect 12-0 record, you'll collect the progressive GPP. What I'm going to do, Chris, is I'm going to bring it up on the screen right now, the Overlay DFS. Let me see if I can pull it up right here. There we go. There's a screenshot of them. So this is how you play. You see here, right here, there's a whole list of players. This is for the basketball that Overlay DFS just started. And what you have to do is pick which one will have more fantasy points. So let's play one right now.
All right.
This is for tonight's slate. LeBron, I'm going to let you pick all the players. LeBron James or Anthony Davis, who's going to have more fantasy points against Minnesota tonight?
I'd probably go Davis right now. This seems as good as Kat's been offensively. I think he kind of can be taken advantage of on the defensive end. And I think the Brow will probably want to prove his superiority there.
Okay. So this is easy to do. You click on the player and they pop into your side bar right here. I'm going to move down the list a little bit. Thomas Satoransky or Kendrick Nunn?
Oh my God.
Yeah, you have to like pick between some of
that's
these like
a tough one. I guess if assuming that Dragic is still out, I would probably take Nunn. But I think Sato has been playing a little better lately.
Yeah.
But I'd have to dig more into the numbers on that.
Right,
one,
right.
But,
well, I'm just saying anecdotally. So
anecdotally, I'll go with Nunn.
Yeah, what we recommend that people playing OverlayDFS.com do is go to DFS Army with your VIP membership, and you can pull our projections. And then you could just literally go down here, look at our projections, see who's projected to get more points, and pick your players. A couple of our guys have been playing every week and winning just using those projections.
That's got to be a huge advantage to your subscribers, because I don't know any other really sites that probably have that site-specific overlay projections.
Yeah, so what you do is you go here and you pick your 12, and then you have to order them. So what you do here is you put them in the order that you want in case there's a tiebreaker, because then each one counts for a different amount of points. So pretty cool. You should check them out. Chris, if you haven't played yet, at OverlayDFS.com, they've been a great sponsor of ours. It's such a fun game. If you're not agonizing enough over your start sit decisions for football, you can now try it for basketball as well. But it is a really fun game where the jackpot carries over each week. And if you hit the 12-0, it's like almost like a 12-team parlay in a sense. You win the progressive jackpot. A couple weeks ago, somebody hit it for about $30,000 on a smaller entry. It was pretty crazy. So
that is a nice score, man.
Yeah, nice score. How are you doing in your NBA DFS this year?
I'm kind of floating by. I play. I don't really do cash. Like, at least with football going right now and a full time job, I don't have the time to like grind cash. So I'm just kind of doing the tournaments every night and kind of treading water at this point. But I've had a few nice hits, and hopefully once football ends, I could even put more time into it and try to like maybe build the bankroll a little more steadily than just shooting for the upside.
Yeah, yeah. Football season is a grind for us all. All right. So the last thing we're going to do, Chris, is we're each going to give the people one or two medium to deep plays that they could pick up and plug into their season-long league this year, preferably someone with four games for those in weekly leagues. Do you want to start us off, or do you want me to start us off? You know what? You're the special guest. Tell me who's somebody that may not be a sexy name, but lower than 50% owned on in most leagues that we can pick up, plug in this week with all the injuries that are starting to mount up.
The one that kind of situation that alerted me to possible some increased fantasy value was Rodney Hood for Portland tore his Achilles, I believe, which sounds like a miserable injury. I actually was worried I was going to tear my Achilles running yesterday, and the cold was hurting me. I was limping around all day. But who we're going to pick is going to pick up his minutes, I think, is something you need to consider, because he was starting playing full minutes. So I think Anthony Simons, if he's available, who's shown some potential as a young guard in injury situations in Portland, and Kent Bazemore, who everybody's had a run with Kent Bazemore on their NBA teams at some point.
He's a pick up and drop guy. I call that ad drop Tourette's.
Yep, waiver wire whores. We've called him Kent Bazemore, but he produces, because he'll get you some of the ancillary stuff. Like, he'll pick up a few rebounds. He's good with the occasional steal and gets a few assists. So I think Bazemore and Simons. And even though it's not the same position, maybe the minutes, I kind of like Nasir Little. I believe he's like a forward out of UNC. He's their draft pick this year. Someone that a lot of people thought slid in the draft and was an astute pick by Portland. I like his minutes have been kind of down since Carmelo's came aboard, but maybe the Hood injury opens up something more for him too.
Yeah, I like those picks a lot. Those are real sneaky picks, because I get asked a lot in the DFS Army Slack chat of who's that guy that this week. And you know, a lot of times that when I'm involved in football, I default to guys like you who are checking that out, scanning the waiver wire, and some other sources as well. But this week, knowing that we were going to end with some waiver wire stuff, I did a real scour of the waiver wire. And he might be owned in your league at this point, but he's only 33% owned in across Yahoo and ESPN leagues. And that's Moritz Wagner. With Thomas Bryant out, I mean, I know they only play two games this week, but he is somebody that I'm interested in at least picking up to seeing how it plays out. And if you need someone to pick up this week and play, D'Anthony Melton. Was a guy that's got four games this week. He's only about 10% owned. John Morant's injury has elevated him from the end of the bench guy to a player getting some minutes. So those are two players at different positions that you could pick up, stick in there, and play for week 8. Well, actually, Mo Wagner, you're just going to wait and hold. Anyone else?
I like both of those guys. I've liked Wagner at Michigan. Obviously, at Washington now, they play such a high pace. They don't play any defense. They're just up and down the court. And he's had some nice games. He's been in a lot of DFS lineups for me lately. And Melton too, because I like Melton better than Tyus Jones. I think that he's done at least on the nights I've been playing DFS since Morant's injury. I think he's put up a few decent scores for me. And is another, that's another one where people, I think, just that aren't paying attention night to night or following as closely still think of Memphis as like the grit and grind, slow pace, like Zebo, Marc Gasol, like they still have that in their head where they're not. This is a young team that wants to get up and down the court. So Melton's definitely a sneaky pickup there.
Yeah. John Morant has looked like a superstar. I even said on this podcast before his injury that if we were drafted today, I think he would be in consideration for a pick over Zion Williamson, because Zion's injury looked a little troublesome as far as this could be a career thing going back and forth and because of his weight. But, you know, I've since come around and become sane again and realized that Zion was was definitely a rock solid one, and he should be coming back real soon. And
have you heard any updates on that? On when Zion's due back?
Yeah, they're saying around Christmas time, and he's not going to play in back to backs. They said for at least the foreseeable future. I think he won't play in back to backs for the entire year. Their record is not so good, so I think they're they'll just ease him in for the entire year. They'll get Jackson Hayes some run, but basically he'll be back around Christmas time. And I think that'll just help him probably play in 25 to 30 games for the entire year.
Yeah. I mean, that's going to be interesting because everybody is going to be curious to see how he performs as soon as he's back. And I think they're going to probably work him in slow with the minutes, like you said, no back to back. So that's going to be a tough thing to juggle in your season long leagues. But yeah, I think it'll be easier to like kind of pick your spots DFS wise with him again in the right matchups.
The last thing I want to talk to you about, and again, I know we were set to make this an 18-minute pod, but I'm having a good conversation with you here, Chris, is we'll try to end this in the next 4 minutes, but give me your thoughts on the NBA trying to give itself a facelift and introduce something like the midseason tournament, rejiggering the playoff situation. Are you familiar with what they're
playing? Yeah, I've read and listened to some podcasts with people talking about that plan, and I like it. I think it's cool to try something different because the season does lag in the middle, and obviously what they're doing now to an extent isn't working. When you have the load management, the rest, when you have like Kawhi Leonard playing like 60 games or whatever as like a target, like that's his goal to sit out 20 games. Like that doesn't work for the paying customer. That doesn't work for like the broadcast affiliates and sponsors. But it's the right thing to do from a basketball perspective, from just a pure wins and losses and having your team ready for the playoffs when the games matter. Like a team like the Clippers know they're gonna get in. So resting Kawhi makes sense. Like that they have to find a way to shorten the schedule and make up the revenue. And I think a midseason tournament like Premier League or like some of these like other soccer leagues do makes sense if they could find a way to do it and find a way to have those games
mean something.
Yeah.
Right. Like, you know, I've heard everything because, you know, how are you going to have the players give a crap about a midseason tournament? One idea that was floated around was the winner of the tournament gets an extra first round pick, you know, gets the 31st pick. But, you know, players are going to say, hey, what do I care if the team gets the 31st pick, you know? And then I've heard money floated around. Obviously, they don't need money. So the idea was that wins would be worth, you know, like an accelerated number of wins. Like if a team, you know, at the end of the day, these guys care about getting in the playoffs and getting championships. So for every win in that tournament, it's worth two wins. So two regular season wins. So if you win four games, you all of a sudden you get eight wins or something like that, where the wins get, you go into like a hockey system with points.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. I think there's smarter people than me that are involved in the scheduling and these things. And
believe it or not, the best ideas come from the fan side of the table. So, and the other thing I thought would be interesting with the playoff system is you see now they want to reseed the final four. So this really came from when Houston and Golden State 2 years ago had that amazing 7-game series in the West Finals. And then the finals was a sweep. So they want to reseed 1 through 4. I can't see any reason why that would be a bad thing.
No, I'm always in favor of the reseeding, but I think that the teams that have the best record deserve that.
Yeah, and then there's the last part of the NBA rejiggering of the tournament would be the 7, 8, 9, 10 to get in the last playoff spot, and the way that they positioned it would be 1 through 6 would secure their playoff spots with regular season record, and then 7 would play 8. The winner would secure the 7 seed, 9 would play 10, the loser out, and then the loser of the 7-8 game would play the winner of the 9-10 game for the last spot. So basically, 7-8 would only have to win one game to be in, and the 9-10 would have to win two games. I like that idea as well.
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, like, there was some resistance to what baseball was doing with the one game wild cards, and those have turned out to be like a fun, exciting thing that I think people look forward to. So, I'm all for experimenting and trying to make some changes because I don't think like people don't look at season long stats in basketball where it really matters, to an extent where it really matters, like what the, how many games it is. I don't think it's something like baseball where like 162, you need to compare what 50 home runs means, or you need to be able to compare what 130 RBIs means or something. Like,
right. It's cumulative in baseball where it's averages in basketball.
Yeah. So. No one can tell you how many points Kobe Bryant scored in a particular season. If you, you know, 100,000 points, like no one cares. Like just get the right amount of games where the stars can play. Almost every day if they're healthy, and find a way to make up that revenue. I think basketball has a lot of smart people running the league. I think Silver's a really sharp commissioner, certainly better than Goodell, in my opinion. And I think I like the roads they're on, the things they're talking about.
All right, Chris, tell us where we could find you, your Twitter handle, what you're working on, anything you want to quickly mention or promote.
My Twitter handle is just my name, Chris Felicetta, F-E-L-I-C-E-T-T-A, at that. It's a pretty little uncommon Italian name. So I got the handle. There you go. And, if you want, I don't actually work for Roto Grinders. I should specify that, but
yeah, you did some content for them.
Yeah. I did blog for them. Interestingly enough, about most of them turned out kind of terrible. My best ball entries, I got in the main championship, I got five through, which isn't bad, but most of them got blown out last week. Because there were a lot of Jameis Godwin stacks, and that wasn't exactly a good week in week 12 for 13 for Jameson Godwin. But I did a nice series there. I'll pin the tweet on my Twitter if anybody wants to check it out. You could read some good takes and some bad ones, like Baker Mayfield and Odell going to be a successful stack this year. So I'm happy to join you guys anytime you need me to jump on. I love the work you guys do at DFS Army, and I think you guys provide something unique in the space. So I'd be flattered to hop on anytime you need.
Oh no, we're definitely going to have you back on, Chris. You crushed it today. You were fire. I definitely appreciate it. A couple of things that we're working on over here is at DFS Army, join Beat the Bookie. That's our new sports wagering advice service where we have professional poker players and professional sports wagers coaching. So they're not just giving out picks. Of course they're giving out picks, but Chris, you know, anyone selling picks is usually why would they sell
fraud,
right? Pretty much, because why would you sell picks? And if they were so great, you would use them yourself. But what these guys do is they teach you how to become a plus EV sports gambler. They give you, teaching everything from basic terms. We put together a 101 course where people can go on, take the course, and then they could actually, there's an assessment at the end. They teach you everything from bankroll management to what reverse line movement is, all the basic 101 terms, and then they bring you into their models. And they share with you and they post all their models. And so our sports wagering service over at Beat the Bookie. So you just go to DFS Army in the upper right hand corner. There is a Beat the Bookie tab. Join the VIP today. Use code SEZ, S-E-Z, and you can get 20% off for life. And also join DFS Army. It's not too late. Even though that the season is ending, we still have plenty of DFS. Join DFS Army VIP. Use promo code SEZ 20% off for life. And you can jump in there and play like a pro. We've actually had someone this year take down the Millie Maker. Bobby Wow did it in I think it was week 3 or 4. The guy
been playing top of every lead. I see that guy. I noticed shield and with him at in so many leaderboards in basketball and football, it seems like. So
yeah, no, and he took down a baseball one as well. I mean, literally, he was a guy that's been playing DFS for about 6 years. He started off with dollar games, and through the coaching service that we have over there, he's hot right now. So and that's for quite a few of our members as well. So come join us over there. Chris Felicetta, thanks again. We're gonna check out all your content on your Twitter. And till next time, man, we'll have you back. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, man. It was a pleasure.